Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person that you brought into this place this morning. I thank you for the preparation of their hearts. I thank you for the spiritual ears you've given to hear. I thank you for the preparation of their heart so that that soil of their heart, Father, will receive the word that you want to land on that area of their heart so it will produce the fruit that you desire to be produced in every one of our lives, Father. Father, we thank you for your presence here today. Father, as we've already prayed an intercessory prayer, we thank you for knowing that every person's need shall be met here this morning, Father, according to your riches, according to your glory, and for one purpose and one purpose only, that you would be lifted up, that you would receive all praise and honor, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Last Sunday, I taught about Paul and how he got to the place as a result of all his trials and tribulations and afflictions. There's two things that I emphasized with Paul. Number one, he got to the point where he was fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded. He knew that none of these things were going to affect him and his relationship with God. And he got to another point where he was determined, but he was determined to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all he wanted to know. He didn't want to know anything else. And then Wednesday night, we looked at Hagar. And we learned from Hagar that God heard the prayer of her. Well, let me just go to it and read it. I don't want to misquote it here. The Lord hath heard thy affliction. She was going through a difficult time with things that were going on with Sarai. And I emphasize the fact that the Lord heard her affliction. Didn't say heard her prayer, heard her affliction. See, a lot of times when we're going through things, we don't think God hears us. And the title of Wednesday night's message was God Sees. God sees when we're going through afflictions. God sees when we're going through difficult times. He knows those things. Well, I'm going to take a little bit different turn on that this morning. And I want to thank Denise for her opening because she gave part of my message. But that's okay. This message didn't come early in the week. It didn't come Thursday. It didn't come Friday. It came late last night. But it was a result of something that Sue and I know she wouldn't call it, and I don't think I would call it a pleasure, but it was something that we went through, and as a result of going through it, the Lord began to speak to my heart. And you know, sometimes we have to go places that we're not familiar with where those places are at. But when you're in a car, we have the luxury of navigation systems. We have the luxury of phones. We can put in the address and it will pop up and give us a direction. But see, here's the key, okay? When you put all that information in, it gives you three different ways in which you can go. It gives you the shortest path. It gives you the shortest time. And if there's any tolls involved, it gives you what way it will go if you're going to take tolls, have to pay tolls. So it gives you choices. And in the passage that Pastor Mark looked at, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I'm just going to reread it again. It says in verse 14 of Deuteronomy 30, "But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it." Verse 15, "I have set before thee life and good, death and evil." 16, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess. Go down to verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. You know, in this road that we're on as Christians, we have choices that we need to make. And that's what the Lord began to talk to me about. We really only have two choices. Your way or God's way. There's really no other choices. You know, Frank Sinatra sang a song, I'll Do It My Way. Well, my way is not going to work. There's really only one way, and it's God's way. Now then, Proverbs, go to Proverbs 16, please. All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. Can you put those two together for me, Guy? It says, all the ways of man are pure in his own eyes. We think we have it all figured out. We think we've got the direction we need to go. That's why we don't include God in everything we do sometimes. We think, okay, I've done this before. I know how to do this. God wants to be involved in everything. But it says the Lord weighs the spirit. Now, here's an important command. It says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Whose thoughts? Your thoughts or God's thoughts? If we commit our works to the Lord, God is going to establish his thoughts. Why is that important? Okay? I'm going to go and reread. Go to, pull up Psalms 139, verses 1 to 3, Guy. This is the same verses that Denise used. Psalm 139, 1 to 3. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. He understands what we're thinking. We sometimes think God doesn't understand. He understands what we're thinking. When we're in trials and tribulations and testings and we don't understand what's going on, we think, I don't know, you know, God, where are you? He understands the thought afar off. And he says, you comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. What is left out when it says all my ways? Nothing. But see, once again, I want to remind you, there's two ways. God's ways and your ways. God's ways and my ways. But see, he's trying to get us to understand, and we know this passage of Scripture. Go to Isaiah 55. Even though we know this scripture, we still try to do it our way. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, we know that, okay? And I wrote down one of the greatest challenges to all of us as Christians is reaching a level of spiritual maturity where we completely trust God's way. That's what he wants. He wants us to completely trust God's ways. That means he doesn't want us to rely upon our own thoughts, our own understanding, our own feelings, what we think is right. He wants us to trust in his way and his way only. Now, here's the problem. When God doesn't do things like we think he ought to do them, we sometimes become disappointed, disillusioned with God. Sometimes we get angry and bitter towards God. And some even lose their faith completely and give up on God. How does this happen? Well, they want to do it their way. And one of the things we learn from Hagar in that story on Wednesday night is Hagar had to come to the place where she had to submit. She was told by the angel to go back to Sarai, and then she was told to submit. And I said, we don't like to submit. We don't like to submit to authority. We don't like to submit to God's ways. We don't like to submit to God's leading and direction. And I said, men, you're more at fault than most women. Because women don't have a problem with submitting. Now, I wrote down some whys. I just want you to listen to these. Why did God command Moses to take the Israelites through the Red Sea? Why didn't he have Moses take them some other way? Could have him take them some other way. Why did God command Joshua and the Israelites to march around the city of Jericho for 7 days? That looks pretty stupid. Why didn't he just snap his fingers and destroy Jericho and save Joshua and the Israelites all that trouble? Why did God allow Joseph to be thrown into a pit and carried off as a slave to Egypt? Why didn't God just say, Joseph, I need you to go to Egypt? Why did God have young David go out with a slingshot to slay Goliath? Why didn't God just send a bolt of lightning and zap the big lug? Why did God allow Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be thrown into the fiery furnace? Why didn't he just wipe out Nebuchadnezzar and all the Babylonians? Why did God allow his only begotten son to die in an agonizing death on the cross? Why didn't he just send 10,000 angels to deliver Jesus? Why does God allow sickness and disease and pain in the world? If he can heal all sickness and disease, why didn't he do it? Why does God allow so much evil to go on in the world? It's obvious he took evil people out of this world. Why doesn't he do it now? I wrote down, God does not always do things the way we would. He never has and he never will. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Do you realize God doesn't think the way we do? Thank God he doesn't think the way we do. I wrote down some things about God's thoughts. God's thoughts are pure. Ours are impure. God's thoughts are righteous. Ours are unrighteous. God's thoughts are perfect. Ours are imperfect. God's thoughts are holy. Ours are unholy. God's thoughts are eternal. Ours are temporal. God's thoughts are heavenly. Ours are earthly or worldly. God knows things we do not know. God understands things we do not understand. God sees things we don't see. God's ways are better than our ways. We just read that in Isaiah 55. His ways are higher than our ways. So God's ways are always better than our ways, but yet we want to do it our way. Karen touched on this in intercessory prayer this morning about the ways of the world, the things that are going on in the world. And we get all bent out of shape. I ask you a question, why? God has it all under control. God knows what's going on in Turkey. He knows what's going on in Syria. He's got a plan, and he's got a reason for everything that goes on. And I don't care whether you're Democrat or Republican or independent. It doesn't matter. God puts people in office that he wants in office, and he removes people from office that he doesn't want in office. That's never changed. It's not going to change. But it doesn't change our responsibility to continue to pray and intercede on those that God has put in authority over us. Now, we're talking about God's ways and God's thoughts are different than ours. We pray for patience. And what does God do? He sends some difficult or demanding person our way. Because in his divine wisdom, God knows that nothing will increase our patience like the flames of trials or having to wait. I want more patience, Lord. And you go to the gas station, you wait 30 minutes to get gas. You go to a convenience store, you got to wait 25 minutes before you can get to the counter. God does completely different than what we do. We pray that God would make us more unselfish. What does God do? He puts us in a situation where we have to put the needs of someone else ahead of our own and make some sacrifices. His ways are never our ways. We pray that God would make us more loving. And what does God do? He makes our path cross someone whose handicapped or physical appearance or obnoxious behavior makes them a challenge to love. What does he do? He sends us the unlovable. I remember I was in New York. I was working for a doctor. And he called me in the room and he said, I want you to do a treatment on this one. And this person, I still remember it. And the Lord is bringing it to my remembrance. Thank God I repented. Because the Lord goes, I want you to share the love of God with this individual man. I go, Lord, you got the wrong person. You know who this guy is? This guy's not a good guy. He goes, I didn't ask you to love him with your love. I asked you to love him with my love. You can't love him. You don't have the ability to love this guy. But if you will allow me to work through you, I can allow him to see the love of Jesus. I never will forget that because it's so true. The unlovable, you don't have the capacity or the ability to love them. Only God does. We pray that God would make us more humble. And what does God do? He puts us in a situation that is so difficult it drives us to our knees in prayer. You know, he does these things. And he does them just the opposite of what we would do. We pray that God would bless us with strength. And what does God do? He puts us in a tough situation that shows us just how weak and helpless we are without him. He puts us in a situation and circumstances above and beyond our physical and mental strength. And what do we have to do? We have to rely on him. And it allows us to know that his ways are much higher than our ways. We pray that God would increase our faith. And what does he do? He allows us to experience the loss of something we trusted in for our security. Ooh, we don't like that one. We pray for peace. And what does God do? He allows us to go through a very stressful situation where we can know his peace in the midst of the storm. Or he tells us to wait. That's how we learn patience. But see, all those things are different than how God does them. Now then, in that passage of scripture that we have up there, go back to Psalm 139. It says, you comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. You have to know that. You have to know he's acquainted with everything you're going through. Every situation and circumstance you're going through, God knows you're going through it. And as I was meditating on these scriptures, especially the scriptures on the way, God said, ask my people if they would like to be God for a day. And then ask them the second question. Would you like the person sitting next to you to be your God for a day? See, we got some laughs because you're thinking, oh my, I know how they think. I wouldn't want them to be in charge of what's going on. Because their thoughts are not conducive for me. I don't want those. And I ran across something in one of the commentaries. And I wrote it down because it really got my attention. And it should hit home with, and the next time you think you've got it all figured out, and you understand how God thinks, and you're just boastful and feeling good about yourself spiritually. The example was this. There was a skeptic and a Christian. A skeptic and a Christian were sitting underneath this oak tree. And this skeptic started criticizing the way God got everything backwards in creation. He was like, this God of yours, he's got everything backwards. He doesn't do anything right. And he says to the Christian, he says, take this oak tree for example. God put a little acorn on this tree that has branches that are more than strong enough to support it. And yet God put watermelons on flimsy vines that can't even hold the watermelon up. He said, if I were God, I would have put watermelons on the trees and acorns on the vines. About that time, an acorn fell out of the oak tree and hit the skeptic on the head. And the Christian said, God is always right. But that's so true. You know, God's, you know, you look at, for example, you look at a horse. A horse has got a huge muscular body and these tiny little legs. Like, why did you do that, Lord? I don't know, but God is always right. No matter what goes on in our life, he's always right. But can you imagine the skeptic sitting underneath that oak tree and getting hit with a watermelon? He still got the message and he still understood what was going on. Now, because God is always right, why do we have difficulty with trusting him with everything? I'm being silent for a while because I want you to think about that. I want God to speak to your heart on why that occurs. See, at times we don't understand the things that are happening in our lives. Some of you in here this morning are probably going through some situations, circumstances in your life you don't understand. I just don't understand, Lord. Why is this happening? Problems come that we don't deserve. Temptations come that we don't think we can handle. Grief and sorrow come our way that we think are too unbearable to survive. But yet, we have Romans 8:28, another thing that Paul put his pen to, that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him according to his purpose. See, no matter what you're going through, no matter what I'm going through, God has a purpose. And that purpose is to get us to understand that he wants us to trust him no matter what we see, no matter what we feel, no matter what is going on. He wants us to trust him 100%. He wants us to be fully persuaded, and he wants us to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is it. That is it. There's so many messages out there that are saying we need to do this, we need to do that. You'll get to know God by doing this. No, we just need to trust him. We just need to know, we need to trust God and to know that his ways are higher than our ways. They always have been, they always will be. Go to Proverbs 14:12. Says there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. How many times have you decided to do something your way? And I'm not saying it ends in death, but it ends in a dead end road. It doesn't go anywhere. Yet it seemed right. This is the way I need to go. Getting back to that navigation system, if you don't put in the right route that you want to go, you're going to go where you don't want to go, and you're going to go and spend time going, wasting time trying to get to where you need to go. How do I know that? Happened to me. Happened to Sue. Because I didn't put in the right route. It was taking me where I needed to go, but it was not the way I wanted to go. And we do that with God. God says, this is the way to go. No, I don't want to go that way. This is what you need to do. No, I don't want to do that. Go to Proverbs 21:2. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. See, we think we're right. We think we're doing it God's way. We think we're pleasing unto the Lord. But what is God looking at? God is looking at our heart. God is looking at our heart. And are we trusting him? Are we believing that God has a better way? Or, and I love Pastor Bill because I use it every single day in ministry. What did Jesus tell you to do? It didn't make any difference what I asked him. He would say, what did Jesus tell you? And if I gave him that eyes in the deer's eyes in the headlight, he would say, you haven't even asked the Lord about this, have you? I mean, he was honest. But that happens. We just want someone else to do the work instead of going to God and asking God, God, what is the way or direction you want me to go? Then he'll use one of you or me or someone else to confirm that direction and that way you need to go. And you're going to develop a better relationship with the Lord because you're seeking his direction, his thoughts, his plans, and his purposes for you in that situation, that circumstance. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. Some of you sitting there this morning have situations and circumstances going on that you don't understand. You don't know why it's happening. You don't even know how long it's going to go on. And you don't know how it's going to turn out. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change the one you can trust. It doesn't change the one you can rely upon and cling to. He is there all the time. He sees the afflictions. He sees the trials. He sees the testing. He sees the circumstances that you're going through. And you know what he doesn't do? God doesn't ask you to understand. God doesn't ask me to understand. What does he ask you? To trust him. That's what he's asking you, to trust him. He's wanting you to trust him. Put up Isaiah 30, chapter 21. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. See, that's why Pastor Mark has begun teaching us on hearing God's voice more clearly. We need to be able to hear God's voice more clearly so when that still small voice says, go this way. Go that way. Turn right. Stand still. Now, see, that's the one we don't like. We don't like it when God says stand still. But we should, because Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Do you realize that you can be still and know that he's God, that you can experience his presence? Too many of us in here are busybodies. I'm not talking about with a mouth. I'm talking about we always have to be doing something. We got to be moving. We got to be helping God. Yeah, that's true. We are his hands and his feet and his mouthpieces. But sometimes he just says, in order for you to know my way, in order for you to know my thoughts in this situation and circumstance, you just need to be still and be quiet. Because you can't hear what I'm saying. I can't direct you. I can't guide you. Because you're over here, you're over there. And I'm going, no, 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 no. You're wasting time. How do I know that? I'm guilty. But see, when we get that way, I want you to go to Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2. Pastor Mark shared this scripture with me a long time ago. And it's so Hosea chapter 2, I'll wait till it comes up on the screen, verse 6 to 7. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns and wall her in so that she cannot find her path. She will chase her lovers, but not overtake them. Yes, she will seek them, but not find them. Then she will say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better for me than now. And he was sharing with me, says, therefore, behold, I will hedge up your way with thorns. He's talking about someone who's kind of walking away from the Lord, and we think, oh, gosh. But see, what we don't understand, God's ways are different than our ways. God is putting a hedge of thorns around them. They can only go so far until they hit those thorns and those pricks. Ah! And they come back. They go this way. And all of a sudden, they start getting thorned in a little bit closer. What was it that changed Paul's life from Saul to Paul? On the road to Damascus. But what was it? Yeah. It says, I'm going to read something here. And he says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He was feeling those pricks, those thorns. God had a plan and a purpose for him. And see, sometimes when we don't want to do it God's way, God has to give us those little thorns and pricks. They're not comfortable, but we need them. Why? To get us back on the way that God has for us. Get us back in the direction and path and purposes that God has for us. Because, go back to Hosea there. I will hedge up your way with thorns and wall her in so that she cannot find her paths. So they can't find our path. So we can't get off the way that God wants us to go, because if we start veering and going that way, we can get off the path real quick. You ever gone for a hike and you get off the path? Next thing you know, you're lost. You don't even know where the path is. You go back to your Girl Scout and Boy Scout days and you start looking at the signs of the times and the sun and everything else, and you get lost even more. But see, God has a path for your life and my life. And we all are guilty of wanting to go see what's off the path. What does John 14:6 say? Someone said it. What's it say? No man. But the first thing he says, I am the way. And when you look up that word way, it means a course of life, a path, a route. He's the only way. There is no other way. But yet we keep searching for other ways. We keep searching for other paths. So every time we get off the direction and path that's leading us to Jesus, Holy Spirit has to put us back on that regular path. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. We all know this passage of Scripture. Verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with some of thy heart, and lean unto own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. We all know this passage of Scripture, but there is so much in these two verses of Scripture. It says, number one, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust means to cling to rely upon, to adhere to. Best example I can give you of what it means to adhere to, Velcro. That stuff adheres to everything. It attaches to things it shouldn't attach to. But it's got those little hook and loop patterns, and if you got the right hook or right loop for a material that it's not supposed to attach to, it will adhere to it. And it sticks. And that's what he's saying. I want you to stick with the Lord. I want you to adhere to. I want you to rely upon. I want you to lean upon. With all thine heart. Once again, what does the word all leave out? It doesn't leave out anything. But yet you and I have areas in our heart that we want to do it our way. And not God's way. And we get all bent out of shape when our way's not working. And we get mad at God. And God's been saying, sorry. You didn't want to listen. You were stubborn. You wanted to do it your way. Have we not done that with children? Some of the most valuable lessons children learn is when a parent says, okay, do it your way. And as a parent, you're standing here going, I don't want you to do it that way because I know what's going to happen. Prime example, don't touch that stove, it's hot. And you turn your head and you know what they're going to do as soon as you turn your head. We think God turns his head on us. God never turns his head. God sees everything that's going on. He never turns his head. He's never caught by surprise. So you turn your head and a little child goes, ah, and they get burned. They didn't have to experience that way. And there's things that you and I experience in our lives that we don't have to experience because we choose, once again, we choose to do it our way and not God's way. And it says, and lean not unto thy own understanding. Lean not unto thy own understanding. I've said this and I've heard people say it, and someone will probably say it before the day is over. Okay? You know, things just didn't work out. And a loving brother or sister would go, did you ask God? Did you pray about it? Oh, yeah, after about an hour or so when it was all messed up and I couldn't figure out what was going on. Whose understanding were you leaning upon? And if you don't believe I've ever done it, just ask Sue. Because that's one of the things that she says to me before I even start anything anymore. I know, but every so often you get busy and you go, stop. Did you ask the Lord to show you what needs to be done? What is she saying to me in very loving words? I don't trust your understanding, and I don't trust your knowledge, and I don't trust your abilities, but God's I do. And if we seek Him first, guess what? Because, men, we got a problem. We don't like reading directions. We just like opening a box and go to work. We get half of it done, and all go, where's this piece go? We do. We're kind of like the skeptic underneath the oak tree, thinking it should have been watermelon. I mean, God knows. That's why we have instructions. That's why they put instructions with stuff to put it together. And what are we being made into? The image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Did God leave us with an instructional book? There it is. That's His instructional book. But some Christians think, I don't have to read that. I don't have to study that. I'm saved. No. There's going to be things that occur in your life and in my life. You need to know what this instructional book says about God's way and not your way. We have to do that all the time, because God's way is totally different than your way. Sue always tells me. She just had this conversation with her oldest son. She said, Ryan, I'm going to give you a little bit of a godly advice. If it's popular with the world, it's probably not God's way. If it's unpopular with the world, it's probably God's way. Because God does everything opposite of what the world says. God says, love those that despitefully use you. We just saw that a couple weeks ago. It was all over the news. Does anyone remember that police officer that killed this young black man? And his brother, when the sentence was given to that young police officer, he got down off the witness stand and walked over, and they embraced, and he says, I forgive you. And the judge was so moved by it that she got down off the witness stand, gave the young man a hug, gave the woman she just sentenced a hug, and handed her a Bible. What a witness. And guess what? They all came under ridicule. Why? Because it wasn't God's, it was the world's way. That wasn't the world's way of doing things. But that was God's way of doing things in that situation and circumstance. And guess what? He got the glory. He got lifted up and allowed the world to see that, how could you do that? And it gave an opportunity for this young man to go on some of the talk shows and talk about his faith and share why he did it. But what did he have to do? He could have easily just sat there and been quiet. But see, he knew that God had something that he wanted to do, and he followed God's way in that situation and not his own. And that's not easy to do sometimes. But we want to lean upon our own understanding. Especially if we've done it before, especially if we're very good at doing something. We rely too much upon our own understanding. And I'll share something that Pastor Bill shared with me a long time ago. And I've shared it with various people within this body. God always gives you whatever gifts and talents and abilities you have twice. You go, what? That's what I said to Pastor Billy. He said, sit down. In that authoritative voice that Pastor Bill had. I said, you need to explain that. And he did. And he used a brother in the Lord as an example, Brother Lee Lockwood. For those of you who didn't know Lee Lockwood, he was a very, very, very talented musician when it came to putting his fingers on a keyboard. He could do things with keyboards that these so-called great people in the world, they couldn't hold a candle to him. Well, he was very successful as a musician. And he used to play over at the Thunderbird over on the beach. And Pastor Bill began to tell me, he goes, I told Brother Lee, you need to lay it down. He goes, what? He goes, you need to stop playing. You need to stop playing. He goes, but that's my livelihood. He goes, I understand. But he said, if you'll be obedient to God, your musical talents will become even greater than what they were. And he says, well, how's that possible? He says, the talents that you're using right now, you're relying upon your own understanding, your own strength, and your own abilities. He says, you need to give them back to God. You need to give all your talents and all your abilities back to the Lord. And do not pick them up until the Lord tells you to. And he did. He was obedient. And we were able to reap the benefits of seeing that anointing that came upon Lee Lockwood, because he could hear someone sing and he could put chords, music, and everything else to it. And he could not even hear it and play it. I mean, he was just that talented. But what happened, and what Pastor Bill told him, he says, when the Lord tells you to pick it up, the second time you start playing, it will not be with your understanding. It will not be with your ability. It will be under God's anointing, God's ability, for God's plans and God's purposes. And see, that's where we miss it sometimes. And I remember the day the Lord told me that with my abilities and talents in my field. We were at a stoplight getting ready to turn, get on Long Island Expressway, and my wife says, have you given all your talents and abilities to the Lord? I said, I thought I have. She goes, no, that's not the right answer. But see, when we lean upon our own understanding, we're not doing what it says in verse 6. It says in verse 6, in all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. When Brother Lee Lockwood laid it down, he acknowledged unto the Lord that those talents and those abilities belong to God. And when he gave them back to God, God began to show him how to use them for his plans and his purposes so that he would be glorified. And Brother Lee blessed me every time he played. But there was one moment. There was one moment in Brother Lee's life. Pastor Bill was over at Menorah Manor doing rehab on a hip. And Brother Lee went over and sat down at that piano and started playing Menorah Man has a lot of Jewish people. And Brother Lee started playing all these Jewish songs. They were coming out of the woodworks to hear him play. And that's because it was no longer Lee that was playing. It was the Lord playing through him, because he'd given all his abilities and talents back to the Lord, and the Lord gave them back to him and says, now you can use them for my glory. And I think we miss it sometimes. We miss seeing God's hand, because we start off with trust in the Lord. See, he had to trust in the Lord with all his heart. He had to believe that if he gave them to the Lord would give them back to him with his wisdom, his ability, and his understanding. And that's why he says, if in all thy ways acknowledge him, and then what's he say he's going to do? Direct his path. He's going to direct the way you need to go. You're not going to have to worry about, okay, did I plug in the shortest route, the longest route, the one I have to pay tolls on? Unfortunately, I didn't do that yesterday. And it was a long ride home. Okay? Because I was leaning upon my own understanding. I wasn't leaning upon the Lord, because when you plug all that stuff into the modern technology, you see this little box that says three routes, three different ways. Well, if you don't choose the way you want to go, it will automatically choose the way for you. That happens in our spiritual life. We just don't want to choose God's way, and all of a sudden these things start happening. They don't have to happen. They don't have to happen. And in verse 7 it says, see, because here's the problem. Verse 7 says, be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord. These eyes can deceive us. These eyes can lead us in the wrong path, the wrong direction. These eyes can cause our thoughts not to be God's thoughts. These eyes can cause our ways to not to be God's ways. What was the way wasn't it the eyes that caused Eve to be deceived? The enemy got her to look upon the thing that God said not to touch, not to partake of. The same thing's happening today. We get off track and we get out of the way that God wants us to because our, and let's face it, the world's way is to bombard you and I with all the ways that are contrary to God's word, contrary to God's ways. Turn the TV on for an hour, pick up a newspaper, sit in a doctor's office and pick up a magazine. All the marketing and advertisement is to appeal to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's designed to do that. Men, they use women to create lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Women, they use purses and shoes. I got to be equal here. I can't just pick on one, you know. They do. They know how to appeal to get you off the way. That's what they do. They've always done it. They continue to do it. Now, which way is better for you? God's way or your way? Okay. So can we say that God's way is the best way? Is God's way the best way some of the time? Say that again. All of the time, God's way is better than our way. Now then, by you saying that, you just lined up, go back to Isaiah 55. You just lined up your thought process with Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than your earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You just acknowledge that God's ways are higher than your ways, that his thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and you're going to trust in, rely upon, and cling to his way and his way only. Amen?
Amen.
I want to play a song here, and then I'm going to close this out. Guy, you want to pull up that song there, please?
All things work together on my way to make me more like Jesus every day. The trials come and go, he's molding me, I know, and with this calm assurance I can say, God's way is the best way, though I cannot understand what lies ahead. Watching o'er my soul, for God's way is the best way, it's the only way for me. All things work together, yes, it's true. Regardless of the trials you're going through, in times of doubt and fear, my Lord is still so near. Have faith in him, his perfect will he'll do. God's way is the best way, though I cannot understand what lies ahead. I know he's in control, he's watching o'er my soul. For God's way is the best way, it's the only way for me. God's way is the best way, watching.
two things that that song talks about. It's the only way for me, and I know He is in control. You have to know that God's way is the only way for you. You have to know there is no other way. I know the way I was going and which way it was leading. It wasn't the right way. Because Jesus is the only way. And we have to know that He's in control. See, what gets us off track, what gets us out of the way that God has for us, the direction He has going for us, is we're just not sure. We're just not sure whether God really knows what He's doing. How can we even think that? How can we even say that? But yet we have, and yet we still do. And for those of you that are in situations, circumstances you don't understand, I want to encourage you with Hagar. Because God sent an angel unto Hagar out of the cry of her afflictions. Not out of the cry of her prayer, out of the cry of her afflictions. I've still been thinking about that since Wednesday night. Because you have an enemy that wants to lie to you and says God doesn't care. That is a lie from the pit of hell. God cares for you. And God sees you when you're in your afflictions. God sees you when you're in your trials. God sees you when you're struggling. He sees you. And He's right there. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God that parted the Red Sea. He's the same God that stopped the mouth of the lion. He's the same God that protected David from Goliath. He's the same God that protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He will always keep you and always speak that still small voice. Ellie, this is the way to go. Bill, stop right now. Just be still. Because He knows what's the best way for you to go. And there is nothing that happens in our life that He... Let me just say this and then I'm going to close in prayer. Is God ever caught off guard?
No.
Is there anything unexpected that surprises God?
No.
There's not. Never has been, never will be. And if we believe that and we know that, then we can trust Him. We can trust Him with our whole heart. Because He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And His desire is to allow His plans and purposes to be revealed in your life so that you can be the instrument He created you to be. That's it. But He's faithful. He is faithful. Heavenly Father, we know the world would show us many different ways to know You, to serve You, to please You. But Lord, there's only one way, and that's Jesus. Jesus is the way. And when we understand that Jesus is the way, then we'll be shown the truth. We'll be shown the truth of God's Word. Jesus is the way, the truth. And once we know that Jesus is the way, we know that the truth of God's word is what changes us and brings about the changes that we need to stay on that path and on that way. Then it produces life. And that's what it says in Deuteronomy. Choose life. Choose life. Father, we have chosen life because we've chosen Jesus. Jesus is life. Jesus is the resurrection life. Jesus is the light of the world. In Him we have life. Oh, Father, we thank You. We thank You for knowing that You know our uprising. You know when we sit down. You know all our ways. Lord, we give You permission that when we get off that path and we start to do things our way, that You will jerk the slack out of us to keep us on the way that You want us to go, so that we will know You and know everything about You. And as Paul said, we'll know Jesus and Him crucified. Because there's still things in our lives that need to be crucified. But as we desire to know You and to stay on that straight and narrow path, You'll cause that which needs to be crucified to be crucified. In Jesus' name, amen.